In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." For a few minutes this morning, I want us to talk about some lessons from problem children. Since we are having our Wednesday evening class on the home, the family, children, marriage, I thought it would be appropriate to have a lesson on children. And so many times we talk about what to do. I want us to look at some examples of children that did the wrong thing to learn from them. Before we get into that, again, it's good to see everyone out this morning. The weather outside is very cold, but it's nice and warm in here, and it's good to come together. I forget exactly what I said on the post to the community, but something about inviting them and they would have a warm welcome and a heartwarming service. And whenever we come together, that's what it is. So many parents today are having problems with their children. It's not a new problem. I would say in my lifetime, it seems where it has escalated just because of the depravity of things that are going on, what children are being taught in school, what they are exposed to from Hollywood, from TV, movies, social media. We've got examples in the Bible of parents that had problems with their children. And we should learn from their mistakes. We should never give up on our children. Never give up on our children. Never give up on our grandchildren. We should always lovingly teach them at all stages of their life to follow God. We don't know when that last little nudge is going to pay off. We never give up. So let's look at a few examples, and maybe we can prevent some problems today, again, with our children or grandchildren. Again, the Bible is full of examples of parents that had problem children. Where do we start? Start back in the beginning with Adam and Eve, and they had trouble with Cain. They were parents of three sons, Cain, Abel, and Seth. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, 'I have acquired a man from the Lord.' Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Genesis 4:25. "Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. 'For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed.'" So we see the first family, one of the first problems that we have is that Cain murdered his brother Abel. Sometimes when we talk about problems, I think we try to classify them: big problems, little problems. A problem is a problem. A little problem is going to grow into a big problem. Genesis 4:8, "Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him." You stop and think, Adam and Eve brought sin into the world before their children. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" And we think, well, that's not that big of a thing, just eating of some fruit. But we see it went against what God said. And when you go against what God said and you sin, sin opens up the door for all kinds of trouble. Well, what can we learn from Adam and Eve? You set the example, good or bad, for your children. They couldn't complain, the companions of their children. They couldn't say, well, those neighbors that live over there, They're the ones that influenced my kids. They couldn't blame the TV set. They couldn't blame so many things that people use today. Children are going to learn from the example of their parents. Now with this too, we'll see a number of different parents this morning. And no matter what you do, your child can still turn out differently than what you would like the child to turn out. However, there again, these are some examples for us to learn from. So we must learn, we must teach our children to live by faith. And that goes against so much of what people see and teach today. They live by what they see instead of by what God says. Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. So by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. How did Cain know what to offer? By faith. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So they were both told what to offer. One listened, one did it by faith, one did not. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, you think about Noah, and Noah had trouble with his son Ham. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah was 500 years old when he begot them. And Ham saw his father's nakedness, and he told his two brothers. And the Bible speaks about him doing this with delight. And in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 20, and Noah, after the flood, Noah began to be a farmer. He planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth noticed the difference in him. One sees his father's nakedness and goes and tells everybody else. The two brothers took a garment, laid it on their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away. They did not see their father's nakedness. Now Noah was drunk with wine and laid in his tent, which provided this temptation. And again, children are going to watch their parents and do what their parents do. There's no telling how many other times Adam and Eve had done things that were not by faith, and how many times Noah had done things not by faith. We know that Noah was a righteous man. He was a preacher of righteousness, yet this sin that he committed impacted his children and impacted right on down through history. Ham, the father of Canaan, the Canaanites. What do we learn from Noah? Stay away from intoxicating drinks. Practice self-control and discipline. Teach our children respect for us as their parents. And this is talking about Noah and being naked, but you see so many children, so many small children today have no respect for their parents, no respect for anybody, and it's sad. We need to teach our children not to be gossips and talebearers. And we need to remember someone is always watching. Noah, when he was committing this, didn't think that his sons would see him. We don't know who's going to see us when we do something that's wrong, but sometimes somebody will. Lot had trouble with his daughters. Again, Lot's daughters made him drink wine and committed sexual immorality. Genesis 19. This is after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar, and he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. And why was it his two daughters and not his wife? Because remember, his wife was turned to a pillar of salt because she looked back. That says something about their mother. Now the firstborn said to the younger, "Father is old, and there is no man on earth to come into us, as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and he will lie with us, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." So they made their father drink wine that night. The firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. It happened on the next day, the firstborn said to the younger, "Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." And they made their father drink wine that night also. The younger arose and lay with him. He did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the people of Amnon to this day. Again, we see these consequences of acts that should never have occurred. And we see, too, these children, we see the children of these problem children. It's like it gets progressively worse with Ham, the father of Canaan and the Canaanites, and all the trouble the Canaanites caused Israel. And then with Lot's daughters, the firstborn bore son. His name was Moab, the father of the Moabites. The Moabites, the Ammonites. We don't know, just like that song we sing, the apple and the seed, we don't know how much good is going to come from that. We don't know how much bad is going to come from our actions also. Well, what can we learn from Lot? Parents need to realize the influence of evil companions on their children. Lot dwelt near Sodom, an exceedingly wicked city. And you just think what these girls, these daughters, would have been exposed to growing up, living in this very wicked, sexually wicked town. They would have been exposed to that. And they would have probably thought what they were doing with their father was not a big deal. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in chapter 15, says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." You can take a good person and put them with bad company, and that bad company is probably going to rub off on them more than that person is going to influence the others. That's why it was good Lot got out of there, but he got out of there with consequences. We need to teach our children respect for us as their parents. We need to teach our children respect for themselves. We need to teach, and speaking of sexual sins like this, we need to teach our children, our grandchildren, to respect God. When they respect God first, then they are going to respect themselves, then they are going to respect other people. And it all starts with respecting God. We need to teach our children to practice self-control and self-discipline. We need to teach our children that marriage is the honorable relationship. Not all of these relationships that exist today or back in the Old Testament. One man, one woman for life. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Well, we keep going through the Bible. We see Isaac and Rebekah had trouble with Jacob. Now, Jacob and Esau were the twin sons born to Isaac and Rebekah, Genesis 25. Jacob took the birthright from Esau. And Jacob's name means deceiver. He was deceptive in how he went about getting this. Jacob obtained the blessing by deception in Genesis 27. And Isaac and Rebekah showed favoritism. So you had Jacob and Esau, and favoritism was shown. You had Jacob, when he had his sons, he showed favoritism. And again, you just see how if you don't correct the problems in your own life, the children are going to pick up on this and probably make matters worse. What can we learn from Isaac and Rebekah? We should not show favoritism to our children. We should not let our children get in between ourselves and our spouse. And you see this so many times today. A child will side with mommy, with daddy. The mommy will side with the child, or the daddy will side with the child, instead of the mother and the father taking a stand and saying, this is what we're going to do. You can either choose to go along with it or not go along. If you don't go along, there's going to be consequences. That's how they learn. But we don't show favoritism. We don't let a child manipulate the mother and father. And we should teach our children honesty. So you think about Isaac and Rebekah, and they had problems with Jacob. So how did Jacob's life turn out? Jacob the deceiver. What you sow, you're going to reap. Jacob had trouble with his sons. Jacob's sons sold Joseph. They would have killed him, but they ended up selling him. Jacob was partial to Joseph. He gave him the coat of many colors. And Jacob's sons made his name stink among the nations. All the hideous acts that they did, the murders that they committed, just their whole lifestyle was wickedness, wickedness. And you have to wonder, I wonder what was going through Jacob's mind as he got older. When you think about he deceived his father, he tricked Esau, he was the deceiver, and then the deceit that was shown to him. When he worked 7 years for a wife, did he get that wife? No, he was tricked and got her sister, and then had to work another 7 years. Again, you see, what goes around comes around. And then you see with Jacob's deception with his parents, Isaac and Rebekah, the deception that was shown to him from his sons. Father, look, here's the coat of Joseph. It's covered with blood. A wild animal killed him. And Joseph, he lived all those years deceived. I'm sorry, Jacob lived all those years deceived that his son Joseph had been killed by some animal. What can we learn from Jacob? We might avoid some trouble with our children by showing the same love for all their children. And if you don't, your children are going to remind you. With our children, if one of them got away with something, the other one would say, Daddy, remember you used to do this or that to me when I would do that. They remember if you don't treat them equally. We need to discipline our children. We need to realize what we sow in life, we will reap. Again, Jacob deceiving his father. Eli had trouble with his sons. They'd lay with women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle. Eli did not restrain his sons, 1 Samuel 3. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. So two problems here. Eli's sons were out of control, and then Eli did not correct them. And you see with Lot, you see with Eli, you see with so many parents in the Bible, a permissive attitude. Well, they're just children. They'll grow out of it. Well, I don't want to be too strict on them. I might run them off. And that permissive attitude grows into something worse and worse and worse. What can we learn from Eli? Parents need to see the importance of disciplining their children. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. And how many parents do you see today that will not discipline their children at all? They'll threaten them. Don't do that again. I said don't do that again. This is the third time I'm telling you don't do that. Then the 10th time. And then they just drop it. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. We read Ephesians 6:4. We need to teach our children self-control and discipline. We need to teach our children that our bodies are the temple of God. And it's interesting, too. We see so many of these problems relating to sexual sins and lack of self-control. 1 Corinthians 6:15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your temple is the body of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We could save a lot of grief today if we could get our children, our grandchildren, to learn this point, that our bodies are the temple of God. And we do not want to do something to disgrace this temple, to disgrace God, to make it vile. We want to keep it pure and holy. We see in the Old Testament an example of an Israelite had trouble with their son, and the son blasphemed the Lord's name. The law forbade profaning God's name. You see that so rampant today, people taking God's name in vain. They just say it like it's part of a normal sentence. Friends, we must teach children to respect God and His law. And again, you take one Israelite as an example, you take all the Israelites as an example. The Israelites had trouble with their children. And what happened? It grew worse and worse and worse. They married these nations that they were supposed to drive out. They got caught up in idolatry. And then God took them into captivity. And you can say it was for a number of causes, number of reasons. And one of the reasons, you can just say, pointing back, they didn't raise their children the right way. They didn't raise their children the right way, and they ended up in captivity. Their children did not know the Lord and served false gods, Judges 2. Israel did not teach their children, nor did they guard against the evil influences. What can we learn from the Israelites? Again, you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We must teach our children to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We must ingrain that on their hearts so that when they start to do something, that is their compass in life. Is this something God would want me to do? We notice and see that Aaron had trouble with his sons. A classic example, Leviticus chapter 10. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord. And what's profane? That's something that's not holy. Again, they were not recognizing God as holy. They offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them, so it didn't come by faith. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So we see where the sons of Aaron perverted God's worship and were struck dead by God immediately, right then. And there's a lesson in there for us. We need to teach children the importance of worshiping as God directs. But again, so many times we just let things go. We don't want to correct our children. We don't want to drive them off. But Aaron had not gotten across to Nadab and Abihu. When God says do something, you do it. You don't stop and think about it. You don't question it. You don't do it some other way. You do what God says to do. Much of the Bible, much of the trouble Bible parents had with their children was brought on by themselves. So when we talk about lessons from problem children, sometimes a parent can do everything right and their children are going to turn out wrong. Sometimes the children turn out wrong because the parents aren't doing what they ought to do. And you can have a mixture of that too. There's no formula for each child because all the children are different. You can have two children raised by parents, and one's going to turn out one way and one another. But these examples are recorded for us so that we can learn from these to prevent some of the problems, prevent some of the heartaches. It's important that parents and children have the right relationship with each other and with God. And this goes a long way into solving problems. If the parent and children don't talk, sometimes they just don't communicate. Sometimes you see families just yell at each other. They're yelling and they aren't listening at all. But if the parents and children can communicate with each other and they have a right relationship with each other and with God, that's going to go a long way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And if you've taught your children from an early age, obeying God is number one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Again, we see from all those examples where the children did not respect the mother and father and how they turned out. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And what's this in regard to? If they were unruly, disobedient children under the law of Moses, they were to be stoned to death. And that would straighten out the other children really quickly. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. We don't want to be too hard on them, too mean on them. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We bring them up in the love of the Lord. And then, just like Abraham, when Abraham went up on the mountain to offer up Isaac, did Isaac refuse? Did he complain? Did he try to run away? No, because with the relationship that he had with his father, he was willing to submit to his father and do what his father said and put his faith and trust in Abraham. Problem children in the Bible. We can look at those children and say, how could they do that? How could they be that way? Well, we have to ask ourselves, how about us? Because you see, we have been baptized into Christ because we want to be in the family. We want salvation. But then how many times do we sin against God? And we can't blame, as Christians, we can't blame our parents. We can't blame God and say, well, God, you are the wrong kind of parent. It falls on us. And it behooves us to do what God says and then to do it out of love and then to teach that to our children. And when we do that, we want to eliminate all the problems. We'll eliminate some of them. We'll prevent some. We'll reduce some. And people will live together in more harmony, in more love, and working together to serve God. Friends, if you're outside of Christ, you need to be in Christ. If there's anyone that needs to respond, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.